president. 2 years later, voters elected Democratic Socialists Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York and Rashida Tlaib of Detroit to Congress, while dozens of their counterparts won races for city council, state legislative, school board, and other seats around the country. According to a 2019 Gallup poll, 43% of all Americans and 58% of Americans between 18 and 34 years old believe that socialism would be a good thing for the country. Democratic socialists have played key roles in the upsurge of activism during the 21st century in social movements like Occupy Wall Street, Black Lives Matter, the fight for $15 minimum wage, Me Too, the anti-Trump resistance, and the battle for a Green New Deal. The Democratic Socialists of America, DSA, which long languished with just a few thousand members, has exploded. By mid-2019, the organization counted more than 60,000 people among its ranks, with more than 200 chapters in red and blue states alike. Iowa has the highest density of DSA members per capita. Almost all of those new members are millennials or younger still, without the Cold War-era hang-ups of their baby boomer and Gen X parents. Americans seem to be holding their breath, trying to decide what kind of country we want to be. An overwhelming majority of Americans are frustrated and fed up with the economic and political status quo. Ideas considered radical only a few years ago, universal health care, tuition-free college, a $15 federal minimum wage, same-sex marriage, requiring big corporations to put workers and union members on their boards, a Green New Deal, and many others enjoy popular support and have been embraced by some of the Democratic Party's biggest names. Is it possible that, within a generation, we might turn this troubled plutocracy into a socialist democracy? It's hardly radical to say that the United States could be run a lot better and more decently than it is now. There's much we can learn from other countries. We could cobble together the best parts of what other cities and countries have to offer to make the United States a much fairer and more caring place. Sweden's generous family leave policy, Vienna's luxurious public housing, which still accounts for about a third of the city's housing stock. Another third is cooperatively owned. Britain's comprehensive national health service, Spain's financial support for coal miners who will lose their jobs as the country shutters its last mines. But we don't just have to look abroad for successful ideas. We should also look to our own nation's history to find examples of progressive, even radical programs that raised standards of living, tamed the greed of big corporations, made our cities and rural areas more livable, and expanded rights to previously disenfranchised groups. During the 1930s, federal programs created not just magisterial infrastructure and conservation projects, but also murals, national parks, and avant-garde theater productions. Back in the 1950s, before decades of wage stagnation and outrageous corporate profits, the top marginal tax rate in the United States reached 91%, and young people graduating from college weren't burdened with five, six, and even seven-figure debt. More than a third of wage earners belonged to unions, compared to just over 10% today. This period, from the mid-1930s to the mid-1970s, which historians call the New Deal Order, was far from a wonderland of equality and economic security. People of color and their white allies waged epic battles for survival, civil rights, and a measure of political power. Women and LGBTQ people had to fight for respect and the right to live and love as they pleased. Many were excluded from the redistributive policies that built the white middle class. In the name of anti-communism, the U.S. government tried to crush popular revolutions in the Third World and, under Presidents Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon, waged a near genocidal war in Indochina. It's hardly an era worth returning to. But the gap between the rich and everyone else was far smaller than it is now, and liberal presidents, facing pressure from below, were confident enough in the powers of government and continued economic prosperity that they actually vowed to do away with poverty. A best-selling 1962 book about the poor by America's leading socialist Michael Harrington, The Other America, did much to inspire that ambition. Today, in what is still the richest nation that has ever existed.